I was working at a prison for the medical staff, and I had a friend who was a correctional officer, and he said,
"Can someone they're hiring correctional officers.
You should apply." And I said, "Me? A correctional officer?" And he said, "I think you would be a great correctional officer." And so I applied. One of the questions said, "Would taking a test on a Saturday prevent you from applying?" And I remember answering, "It would." So I kind of in my mind thought, they're not going to call me, they're not going to get a hold of me, they're going to see that answer. But to my surprise, they did.
At every stage of the long interview process, Teresa explained that she couldn't work on Sabbath. Instead, she offered to work Sundays, nights, public holidays, even Christmas Day. No one raised a red flag.
I went to the mailbox one day and I saw the letter, and to my dismay it said, "You've been disqualified from the process." And when I went to look why I was disqualified, it just said, "You refuse to be available nights, weekends, holidays." But I was so upset about that. And I went home, I got in my bed, I was crying, and I thought, is this it? Does the road end for me here because of my religion? Am I excluded from being able to apply to be a correction officer? And so I made lots and lots and lots of phone calls. I must have called 15 to 20 lawyers in all areas of California explaining the situation, and none of them wanted to touch me. Finally, I did reach a guy who said he wouldn't or he couldn't help me, but then he said, "I know a guy, and the guy's Alan Reinach." I wasn't sure because I had heard so many no's that when he understood, it felt good.
Teresa's case is sadly not at all uncommon. In fact, the biggest religious liberty problem in America today is not whether religious monuments are allowed or whether, you know, a high school football coach can pray on the 50-yard line or something like that. The biggest problem is that every business day, Americans are losing their jobs because of their faith. People like Teresa Brown.
So every time I felt like giving up, God was always there. I always saw His hand there. Every time I thought, I can't do this anymore, I can't move forward, this is not going the way I thought it was, it's taking longer than I anticipated, it's affected us financially, God was right there. You need to keep going, you need to keep pushing. This testimony is going to help other people, and you need to finish what you started.
The thing that stands out to me about this case is that a state agency that was hiring 8,000 new correctional officers at the time and could easily have accommodated Teresa Brown has chosen to fight this case where they didn't have a case, and to fight for 8 years, and even now that they've lost, filing a frivolous appeal.
The most difficult thing about this case has been not knowing what is going to be the outcome. So many times we think we have it and then we don't. And then we think we have it and we don't. So it's a lot of up and downs, emotional roller coaster of thinking you've done something to get justice and you want to trust God, but then part of you is this going to get justice? But I have to trust.
The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation has appealed the court's decision in favor of Teresa. Her fight for justice continues. Your offering today will help us defend religious liberty in the courts. Send Liberty Magazine to leaders across our nation. Advocate directly with lawmakers. And support many church members like Teresa who face discrimination because of their faith.
Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you'll bless
our time right now. Bless my words. And we thank you for the freedom of this country. We pray for it. We thank you for peace and freedom from guilt, because you have forgiven us of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have freedom in you. We have peace in you. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the peace and freedom that we have in this country. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the world who live in countries where this is not the case. And we pray that you'll help us every day to not take for granted this freedom, but to keep vocalizing and defending our freedoms. Bless our time now. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Russia, February 2023. A couple arrested in a restaurant because they were discussing among the two of them being somewhat critical of Putin's war on Ukraine. Reminds me of the Bible verse, Ecclesiastes 10:20. Do not revile the king or the dictator even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Truly Solomon, Solomon was saying, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Iran, September 19, 2022. 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died several days after her arrest by the morality police for wearing tight trousers and wearing her headscarf or hijab incorrectly. Now, you might think that the girl in the middle is wearing it the wrong way, but in Iran, all three of the girls in the middle would be wearing it the wrong way. In Iran, women 9 years and up must wear modest clothing, which include a head covering and a long coat, and has been mandatory since Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution. Now, there's nothing wrong with the way these two women are dressed, and they've managed to do quite tastefully the mandatory dress code for a whole country. Nothing wrong with the way they're dressed, but to be forced to wear, to do this in a whole country. Penalty for having too much of your bangs exposed and maybe the curl showing or something like that. 2 months in the guidance center or 74 lashes. Now, the last time I knew, 40 lashes would kill you. Well, it's not just Russia or Iran or any of several countries in the world. It's coming near you. This was written October 6, 2021. A.G. Merrick Garland tells the FBI to investigate parents who yell at the school officials about critical race theory. Not only critical race theory, but they were upset about wearing masks, their children wearing masks for 2 years, their children not able to return to the classroom. It wasn't just one issue that the Loudoun County, Virginia parents were upset about, or several other school boards, or several other school systems. School boards want some perturbed parents branded domestic terrorists. This is a letter with the official FBI heading, and not only FBI, but says a joint message from the Criminal Investigation Division of the FBI and the Division of Counterterrorism Division. I'm not sure my computer is... If you'll bear with me, I would like to read this. Oh, on October 4, 2021, the Attorney General forwarded a memorandum addressing a spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. They felt threatened in a public school board meeting. What did they think the parents were going to do? I don't know. They didn't like being shouted out. Didn't like hearing opinions expressed. The memorandum directed each United States attorney, in coordination with the FBI, to convene meetings with federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial leaders in each federal judicial district within 30 days of the issuance of the memorandum. Second paragraph. We share an obligation to ensure all individuals are able to do their jobs without threats of violence or fear for their safety. Again, the administrators and superintendents were fearing that they would be lynched or something. Really? This can only be accomplished with effective coordination internally between relevant divisions and through effective coordination and engagement with our law enforcement partners and United States attorney offices. Third paragraph. As a result, the counterterrorism and criminal divisions created a threat tag, EDU officials, to track instances of related threats. We ask that your officers apply for the threat tag to investigations and assessments of threats specifically directed against school board administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. The purpose of the threat tag is to help scope this threat on a national level and provide an opportunity for comprehensive analysis of the threat picture for effective engagement with law enforcement partners at all levels. When evaluating potential threats, we ask that you attempt to identify the following. Is there a federal nexus, or in other words, is there federally coordinated threat here against school administrators and teachers? Are there potential federal violations that can be investigated and charged? And what is the motivation behind the criminal activity? Well, because of this memorandum that went to every United States Attorney General, the FBI agents actually showed up at the homes of every parent who went to the Loudoun County school board meeting. And they were told to investigate, are there any federal laws that have been broken? Can we charge you? And so they showed up at these homes and they investigated and they interrogated. No one was charged, but if you received a visit from the FBI after attending a school board meeting, would you be less or more likely to attend the next school board meeting? Think and talk about intimidation. The Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, the 10 First Amendments that the states required to be added before the states would ratify the Constitution. Amendment number 1 actually contains several of our freedoms. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Again, this does not mean that we're guaranteed freedom from religion, as so many in our country tried to advocate, saying that you can't put a manger scene on a county courthouse lawn. It does not say that you are guaranteed freedom from religion. It simply says the Congress shall not make any law establishing a state religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Now, at the end of a transcription of the Constitution, it gives a glossary of terms that have somewhat been changed in the last 200 years. For the word abridge, they put the simplistic word shortened or curtailed. So you could read that, there shall be no shortening or curtailing of freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government, including school boards, our government, for a redress of grievances. And by the way, stating that there are males and females is not only conventional wisdom, historical truth, scientific truth. The fact that there are males and females is religion and therefore should be protected, totally protected as religious freedom to talk about femaleism and maleism. So Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male created he him. Male and female created he them. That is religion. So if anyone gives you a hard time, if you're faced losing a job or some other curtailment of your rights because you insist that there are males and females, you can contact me and I can help put you in touch with our union, our Middle America Union representative of the public affairs and religious liberty department. You can also go to AdventistLiberty.org and there's a place of how we can help. It says how we can help you. And then there's another one at the top. It says how you can help us. And click on that and it has a place where you can say a religious liberty concern. And you can fill out your name, in 300 words, the issue and your address and such. And someone will get in contact with you, just as that dear lady, said they contacted her and have been helping her in her fight for 8 years. So again, that's another reason to donate to religious liberty of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which again does not only defend members of our own church, but we're defending members of other churches as well. Our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We'll switch to a little bit easier to read for you. Self-evident truths that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, the writers of our Declaration of Independence and subsequently the Constitution obviously believed in the Creator and appealed to the Creator as a source of these rights. And I wanted to take just a little bit of time and look at the biblical basis for these Why did our framers see these as unalienable rights, and that it's self-evident? It was interesting. I already had the texts that I wanted to go to, but in my surfing around and getting pictures for this presentation, I surfed what others thought about why the framers of our Constitution and Declaration thought that these were basically biblical-based ideas. And it said, one of the questions, you know how it is, other people are asking, it said, why do Baptists, I can't remember, why do Baptists think so strongly about religious liberty? I'm having to paraphrase that. And it said, whatever, something, something. And they base this mostly on the New Testament. Well, interestingly, and of course, my opening scripture was from the New Testament, which Chenille beautifully emphasized. But interestingly, my texts are from the Old Testament. And I would like to read, I would like us all to pick the Bible from the pew, from the seat back in front of you. And we will turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we'll read about 15 verses. We'll be starting in verse 1. 1 Samuel 8, starting in verse 1. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, or money, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, where he was, and said unto him, Behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, God says, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done ever since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me, said God, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Do you think this was going to be only kings of Israel? Or you think it's true of kings? He's about to tell them what happens with kings and dictators. Okay. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And he will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and he will set them to ear or harvest his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots, and he will take your daughters to be their to be his confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And the king will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants, and he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants, and he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest or best young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And so Samuel heard the words of the people and hearkened unto them. And then, of course, you know, God actually chose a king for them, did the best, you know, chose what a man looks on, a tall and handsome and person. And so I think in contrast, reading this, the Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Washington, John Hancock, and, you know, a couple dozen of others could see, you know, God knows what's bad. And he's telling us right here in 2 Samuel, this is the way things are under King George. This is how things are under King Louis the 14th, and under, you know, whatever country you have, this is the way basically things go. Now, in contrast, when you have God as your king, we can go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And remembering again the words from, remembering these words, certain unalienable rights, that among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Just see if you don't think that's what's described here. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in Deuteronomy 28. Meanwhile, I'm going to show the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Interesting things in there, especially in relation to the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. Okay, but I'm reading from chapter 28. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. Blessed shall thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy cows, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store," verse 6. "Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and your enemies will flee before you in seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in all his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you don't follow me, then all the opposite is going to happen. And we've discussed in our Sabbath school lesson this quarter, the Lord commands us these things not for his good, but for our good. He tells us the way to live so that we'll be the happiest. The commandments are for our good. Imagine if we all lived in a land where no one stole, no one killed, no one lied. That would be really amazing. And, of course, no one stole each other's wife, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is the land toward which we are going, heaven. Heaven is our home. But meanwhile, we need to defend our freedoms.